Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio is what you're listening to. And as always, we appreciate that. We appreciate you tuning in to AFR each and every day. I'm Tim Wildman, Ed Battagliano co-hosting with me today. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Walker, what are you going to be doing?
Good Monday morning. I am going to be posting articles that we discussed that Fred discusses today on the Facebook page. Mm-hmm. So our viewers, well, rather our listeners, unless you're viewing on Facebook, can read more in depth on the stories we talk about and follow the stories that are discussed. And we're also doing Facebook Live, so you can watch the show on our Facebook page.
Today's Issues Facebook page.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, we've been doing a really good job of that the last couple of months, I think, is putting the articles up that we talk about so that people can have access to the information themselves and pass it around. So we are making sure we do that, because nothing more frustrating than hearing about a story on the on a show and then going, well, what was that about? Where can I read that? Mm-hmm. Well, the issues we talk about here on Today's Issues, we post information about it at our Today's Issues Facebook page. We appreciate you accessing that. Fred Jackson, news director from, hey, who lowered my seat in this?
Don't look at me. I don't know. You think I'm going to prank the boss?
I just sat down in my
morning?
Chair, and my seat is about on the ground, so I'm looking up at everybody.
It was somebody tall.
Well, I guess it's Brian Fisher. He's 6'2". Here, I'm going to raise my seat level. Then, Fred, all right, let me regather myself. I just sat down ago. I feel like Tim Conway. And Dorf, was that what it was?
Was it Dorf?
Dorf. I think
Dorf on golf.
Dorf on golf.
Dorf on hosting a talk show.
I felt really inferior there for about 30 seconds. I felt like I didn't belong in the room.
How you doing down there?
Good morning. That's what I felt like.
How's the weather down there?
I was the guy down there. Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you.
All right, Fred, before we move on to what's happened in the last probably 5 minutes with with President Trump, you can't keep up. The guy works at breakneck speed. So we wanted to revisit what happened Friday in Washington, D.C. for just a minute. It was a good news day, wasn't it?
It was absolutely incredible. I know a lot of people saw the riots that took place on Inauguration Day. Then they saw the march that took place the day after. And then last Friday, we were witness to the March for Life in Washington, D.C. You talk about a lesson in contrast. Nobody rioting, nobody punching people. It was a celebration of life. It was pro-life supporters from across the country. Tens of thousands of them had gathered. And to make the event even more special, for the first time in American history, you had a pro-life vice president of the United States, the highest ranking elected official ever to speak to this March for Life. Vice President Pence spoke to that group unapologetically pro-life. It was an amazing event. And can't say enough about it.
So nobody was vulgar. No. Nobody said disgusting things.
No. It was all positive. Kellyanne Conway, special advisor to President Trump, was there proudly saying, I am pro-life. It was amazing. And you know what? And we've noted this before. I was just tickled, delighted to see the number of young people. I would say the vast majority of the demonstrators there were young people. And that is really, really encouraging when you're talking about the issue of pro-life and where the country may be headed on pro-life issues.
Well, thank you to Vice President Pence
and
President Trump for supporting the annual March for Life in Washington, D.C. I think it's been going on since Roe versus Wade became.
Yeah, let's go back.
In 1973,
way back.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So, just amazing.
All right. Well, Let's jump into the news, Fred.
Okay. On Friday afternoon, fairly late on Friday afternoon, Washington time, President Trump went over to the Pentagon for the official ceremonial swearing in of the new Secretary of Defense, General Mattis. They call him Mad Dog Mattis, affectionately. And while there, he signed off on another executive order, Homeland Security order. And we knew this was coming. It is basically a four-month period where they're going to put a stop to refugees coming into this country until they can develop a better system of vetting people who come into this country. And this ban took place right away. And so we knew it was coming, but it exploded on the weekend from a lot of different fronts. Number one, there were about 100 and so people who were coming, already had been approved to come into the country, that were stopped at the airports, New York and other places like that. But then you had the protesters going out to the airport saying, you know, calling, this is unconstitutional. You had Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democratic senator. This is unconstitutional. We're going to put a stop to this. You had Senator Chuck Schumer yesterday weeping in front of the camera saying just how horrible this is. We have to pass bills to stop Donald Trump from doing. Now, what you didn't hear very much of is this has been the practice of other presidents, including Barack Obama. There are seven countries that President Trump mentioned in his order on Friday. Seven countries. They include Sudan, Libya, Somalia, Yemen, Syria, Iraq, and Iran. Those seven countries. This is not a Muslim ban. This is the way it's being described in the mainstream media and the Hollywood crowd last night at these awards that they were shown on TV. It is not a Muslim ban. It is a ban on anyone who lives in these countries coming in for the next 4 months. We're just going to pause to make sure we have a good vetting process. Like I said, the media just exploded on the weekend, just saying how incredibly unjust this is. But as we say, back just a few years ago, it was President Barack Obama that named these seven countries. President Trump was just using intelligence gathered while President Barack Obama was president of the United States. And that's why he named those seven countries. Other presidents, including President Bill Clinton, he gave a speech about how we need to guard our borders. This is back in 1995. And I believe we have an excerpt from that speech. And just have a listen to what President Bill Clinton was saying back in 1995.
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
That was who?
That was...
Why, that fascist.
Then-President Bill Clinton.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton's talking about we must do more to stop it. There were no protests. Hollywood didn't go crazy over this. In fact, the Democrats applauded it.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened since then?
Well, what's happened since then is, first of all, that wasn't a Republican president, or they probably would have booed. That was a Democrat president from 1996, by the way. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a controversial issue back then, I don't think, as much, Ed. I think most people knew what President Bill Clinton said to be true if you were a Democrat or Republican.
Well, and I think that it's in the 2000s, but especially here in the last, 7 years, it's become a real political issue for the Democrats. So it wasn't in 1995 when President Clinton was, was this a speech before Congress?
Yes.
Yeah.
State of the Union,
State
probably.
Of the Union. So it wasn't back then because apparently the Democrats did not include illegal immigrants as part of their.
Now, he called them illegal aliens. Excuse me for interrupting you. Right. President, if you heard that, President Clinton called them illegal aliens.
Right. Yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But he was, you know, the Democrats apparently since then have decided that they will be a part of the up and coming Democratic constituency. So that becomes now they have to fight like they do for all the little slivers that they have of part of their constituency, the victimized classes. Mm-hmm. They have to go to bat for them. So this is part of, I think, why the new Democratic Party, which has changed quite a bit since Bill Clinton. I mean, that was a president who triangulated to moderate his position in order to get support from Republicans. Instead, we had President Obama, who was not only willing to craft Obamacare without any Republican input, but pass it without any Republican input. So this is a different Democratic Party, too.
Yeah, and now it's the party that seems to do whatever they can to win, even if it means, to contradict themselves from even 15, 20 years ago. But yeah, like you said, Ed, I think their goal is to eventually have the Hispanic illegal vote as a voting bloc, whether you do it with amnesty or whatever.
Right.
That's their goal.
Tell me how I'm wrong here, to borrow from Bill O'Reilly. This is people who are for controlling our borders versus people who are for open borders. Again, I'll repeat that. There's only two sides here to me. There's people who are for controlling our borders, and everybody else, and by controlling, I mean if you want to put up a wall, a fence, a barrier, more border agents, border control, what do you call them?
Sure, either
one. Agents. Whatever needs to be done lawfully to secure our border so that nobody comes into our country illegally, either you're for that or you're for open borders. Open borders, I mean, so for these people who say we don't need any more security on the border or we don't need a wall, why would you be opposed to a wall? Because it doesn't work. So you're not opposed to the idea of a wall. You're just opposed to the practicality of a wall. I'm trying to pull out from these people where it is they're really coming from. Mm-hmm. At that point, they would say, no, they would have to admit that they're opposed to the idea of a wall. Well, why are you opposed to the idea of a wall?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's un-American, but it helps secure our border. Well, see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Eventually, they get down to, I don't believe in, their answer is, although they might say it this way, they're not for border security at all because they believe preventing anyone from coming here for any reason is xenophobic or racist or un-American.
Yeah, well, the thing that we're really missing, and I would say even Republicans don't talk about this much, is we have a very good, for the most part, legal immigration system. I mean, we're very generous when it comes to letting people into our country through the process. But all those people are being left to the wayside. The people who put in applications to come into the country legally are being left to the wayside, and the Democrats are fighting for the ones who are crossing the border without going through the process.
Yeah.
And so if the Democrats are the party of hospitality and welcoming people in, well, let's build a wall and then streamline the legal immigration process.
Yeah.
We have everybody documented. Yeah. They can come in, raise their families here, get a job, and have a good life.
Just, I think we need to address this. There's been a campaign of misinformation this weekend in the wake of the ban being announced on Friday. There are people out there saying, well, this was poorly handled by the Trump administration, that they should have given notice. What do you want to telegraph to everybody in these countries? In 2 weeks' time, we're going to put a ban into effect.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Guess what happens over the next 2 weeks?
Right. Mm-hmm.
There was misinformation about, what about those people holding green cards who are away visiting family in one of these countries? Well, that's wrong, too. They said, no problem with green cards. You're already legally a permanent resident of the United States. Come on back home after your visit. No problem there. For the people, the 100 or so that were caught in the middle, that were boarding planes as this ban went out, all right, again, they couldn't telegraph a week in advance. So we'll deal with those people. If you got visas already, you're at the airport, all right, you're going to get in.
Yeah, you get vetted on the spot.
Vetted on the spot.
Right.
No problem at all. The other part that was just misinformation out there, and I mentioned Senator Elizabeth Warren out there preaching, and you saw this video over and over again this weekend. This is unconstitutional. That is ignorance. All right, ignorance, plain and simple. Jay Sekulow, who is chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, addressed that claim this morning on Fox News.
No, the president's correct. President Trump's right. The first obligation of the president of the United States is to keep the American people safe. That's number one. By the way, President Carter prohibited Iranian asylum and refugees for a period of time as well. So those that are acting as if this is somehow out of the constitutional norm of the United States are ridiculous. They don't understand history, and they certainly don't understand the law.
There you go.
I tell you what, President. So the problems associated with this, while there were some for a few people, were extremely small in terms of numbers. I'm talking about the problems created by the ban on immigration, the temporary pause, if you will. It's not a permanent ban. It's four months?
Yeah, 4 months.
On seven countries?
Mm-hmm. Right. Countries that were named by President Obama.
Yes. Yeah. As being hotbeds for radical Islam.
Right.
And I just have to say, this is the kind of stuff that makes the Trump administration so frustrated. And I'm reading off of CNN's. Their front page story right now is, the headline reads, Donald Trump's travel ban fundamentally changes American history, meaning in a negative light. And then this author goes on to to criticize the decision as if we've somehow, changed. We're not welcoming anymore.
Any mention of FDR's internment camps for Japanese during World War II?
No, I didn't mention that.
Huh, he's a Democrat. any mention of President Obama's ban on Iraqis coming to America?
No. Didn't mention that.
Hmm. What about President Obama's order to return Cubans who had arrived in this country? We're going to send them back?
Right.
Where was the outcry over that? Those people going back to Cuba are going to be thrown in prison.
Right.
And he said
there was
nothing.
No outcry over that.
No outcry.
What about President Jimmy Carter, who sent all the Iranian students home during the hostage crisis? You remember that? He rounded them up.
Yeah.
Remember that? Rounded them up, sent them all back to Iran. So this is selective outrage on the part of the liberal media.
Hmm.
And again, what Donald Trump, the president, is doing. By the way, he's only, again, we're shocked by the fact that, I say we're shocked, I put that in quotations, it depends on who you are, by the fact that he's actually following through with the campaign promises that he made. And instead of backing down today, to me, this was the first true test of President Trump's backbone. I know he's been in office, 7 days now, 8 days? But I thought last week he was just like a runaway locomotive and nobody could stop him. And I thought, well, the blowback he's getting in the media and from the left, and I wonder, probably some weak-kneed Republicans on this issue, because it's bad PR momentarily, I think, for President Trump. In this sense, again, there's hardly any way to gauge this. I don't have a problem with what he's done, but I'm a conservative. But people in the middle who are reading this going, oh my word, he's banning people from coming to America forever.
I have a hard time believing that very many people, I mean, probably even in liberal states, when they find out, okay, so, I mean, if they followed the election at all, they know what Trump was saying. Look, we need to temporary ban, so we figure out who's coming into our country from these Muslim countries. I have a hard time believing that most people are going to care about this. This not only is selective outrage, Tim, this is just media outrage.
Yeah.
Most people are going, I think that's a good idea. I think we got too many Muslims coming in here.
Right.
Some of them are jihadists. We've had attacks, California, whatever.
Right. We need to put the pause button on.
I want to know who's coming into this country.
It's smart.
I'm going to give Trump some time on this.
Even though it wasn't a Muslim ban, then most of these countries were predominantly Muslim.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it wasn't a quote Muslim ban. If he'd wanted to, President Trump shut down immigration from Muslim countries, he'd have had a lot more on that list.
Right.
Yeah.
And he could have. There was nothing stopping him.
And he might add some.
But it's a temporary ban, as you say, Ed, which is what he ran on, Fred.
Yep.
Is is let's stop this massive immigration, refugees or otherwise, I guess, until we get a handle on who's coming into our country, because we're making ourselves less safe by letting all these people in.
Just deal with the facts.
Right.
Go back to San Bernardino.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what he's trying to avoid, another right. San Bernardino. He's mm-hmm. trying to avoid another Orlando. He's trying to avoid another right. Chattanooga, Tennessee. Right. That's all he is
Boston
trying
Marathon.
To do.
Boston yeah. Marathon. Yes. And I was really surprised. A lot of news outlets, even Fox News, had CAIR, Council on American Islamic Relations, on, some of their representatives on, to talk about this executive order, et cetera. But what they ignore is CAIR held a press conference the day after the San Bernardino attack, trying to go on the defense because they were being attacked because mm-hmm. apparently this guy had some connections to CAIR in California. Well, the terrorist brother came out in the CAIR press conference because he was a CAIR member or something, and he said, I can't believe this. I had no idea he was going to do this, yada, yada, distance himself from his brother. Well, it came out weeks later that his brother knew that the guy was going to do this.
Yeah, when helped him purchase the weapons.
So he lied on a CAIR press conference. The terrorist brother lied about knowing about it. And then CAIR's on Fox News.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's what strikes me, the difference between President Trump and President Obama. President Obama pretended like there wasn't a problem with Islamic jihadism, if you want to call it. He pretended that did not exist, that these people committing these acts of murder and mayhem and jihad could not possibly have been motivated by their Muslim faith. To do that, you have to deny history for 16, how many hundred years, Ed? 1600 years or so of Islam?
Oh, well, since the 600s AD.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
14.
So, yeah, and you have to.
1400.
So President Obama pretended like jihad didn't even know what you were talking about. And with President Trump, it's 180 degrees the other way. He knows there's a problem within Islam, that you've got a certain percentage of them who want to commit acts of jihad against innocent Americans.
Well,
and he wants to stop it.
And here's what I predict happens, okay, because we had 8 years of what you're just talking about, President Obama's policy towards this, which is hear no evil, see no evil, you know, mm-hmm. speak no evil. And so who knows how many radical jihadists
are already here.
Mm-hmm. And if one of those succeeds in attacking American citizens, mm-hmm. the media is going to say, see, President Trump's policy to ban Muslims from these seven countries didn't even work, mm-hmm. even though the jihadist probably has been here
yeah.
because of the policies of President Obama.
It's inciting violence.
Or something of that nature. They'll find a way to turn this around to blame Trump's policies when, in fact, it is probably going to wind up being President Obama's policy.
Well, an example, you know, how to blame Trump for everything bad. There was a shooting at a mosque in Quebec City, Canada last night. Six people died, and there are five in hospital. The way the Associated Press ran the story, this all happened as there was outrage around the world over what Donald Trump did. So
right.
somehow he is getting blamed for what happened at a mosque last night, even though the shooters hollered out Allah, Allah Akbar at that mosque.
So it could have been Muslim-on-Muslim crime.
And it was a Moroccan, I think. They've determined that the shooter was Moroccan?
One of them, at least.
One of them, at least.
Yeah.
So the shooter may have thought that, we don't know yet, but just speculating, he may have thought that these Muslims
were inside, too liberal.
Were too liberal, yeah.
Okay, but the media immediately jumped on.
Connected it with Donald Trump.
Well, President Trump, even with all the criticism he's received in the last 24 to 48 hours, he's doubled down. and... Are we surprised?
Not at all.
We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
Next time on Today's Issues, we'll talk with Emilio Ramos, pastor of Heritage Grace Community Church, about Unpopular, the movie.
The Christian voice has to distinguish itself from the world. If we just sound exactly like what Fox News is doing,
what are we really saying, and how are we being salt and light? We're not.
That's next time on Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio, and online at AFR.net.
Isn't it refreshing to have a president that isn't hostile to Christianity? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with the American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, our country was founded on the Judeo-Christian worldview. There's no question about it. The Christian religion was dominant in early America, and there's a reason our country was called a Christian nation. We're going to see this rich history when we go to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon on our Spiritual Heritage Tour in June, and then the other one in September. In addition, we're going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate tour, but you can do both of those tours with us if you would like to. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be our historian as he tells us about our great Christian heritage and history. For more information on either of these tours, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. Militant agitators laid siege to a number of American airports over the weekend, protesting President Trump's decision to protect the nation from bloodthirsty jihadists. Dozens of Muslims turned a baggage claim area at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport into a makeshift mosque, kneeling on prayer rugs, chanting Allah, and nary a peep from the TSA. But heaven help the poor guy who gets caught with a shampoo bottle in their carry-on. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio said the ban was an attack on religious liberty. These are the same guys who tried to shut down Chick-fil-A and told gun-toting Bible clingers they were not welcome in the Empire State. You know, liberals seem to think the better option here is to let all the refugees into the country and then pray nobody blows us up. Sweet mercy, America. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to watch the show on Facebook, you can do that. Today's Issues Facebook page. You can listen on the internet at afr.net or download our app for your smartphone or your other mobile device. We have a free app, American Family Radio. It takes you 60 seconds or less to download it, and then you can listen to us anywhere in the world. Clear as a bell. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Walker Wildman, and we've been talking about the news that's been made in the last couple of days regarding President Donald Trump's temporary ban on immigration from seven countries, and he took a beating by the media, liberal media, over the weekend for this, but. One thing you got to say about Donald Trump, when the media beats him up, he punches them back. Either punches them back or he does. I will say this. I don't think you can say Donald Trump doesn't care what the liberal media says about him. I think he does care. That's why he hits them back so hard. And Fred, I noticed that Donald Trump, the president, he's still tweeting, and he will probably be tweeting, but he tweeted these things. This is 6:16 a.m. January 30th. Is that today?
Today.
Okay. He said only 109. This is Donald Trump, the president of the United States. Only 109 people out of 325,000 were detained and held for questioning. Big problems at airports were caused by Delta computer outage. Then he said protesters. And the tears of Senator Schumer. Secretary Kelly said all is going well and very few problems. Make America safe again, in all caps. I guess Secretary Kelly's what, transportation?
Homeland Security.
In other words, he's reported to me that everything's going good with this. And then Donald Trump finally said at 6:27 a.m. in another tweet, There is nothing nice about searching for terrorists before they can enter our country. This was a big part of my campaign. Study the world! Exclamation point.
Yeah.
So, one more other tweet. This is 7:31. He waited an hour, looks like, between. He said President Trump said this: if the ban were announced within a week with a 1 week notice, the quote bad would rush into our country during that week. A lot of bad dudes out there. He says, exclamation point.
He deals with reality. President Trump is dealing with reality.
Right.
If you could find an honest liberal, they would not argue with what he's doing. They would not argue.
Even if they didn't have to go on record?
Right.
Exactly. And this morning, if you thought President Trump was going to wilt with all the media coverage and the attacks he's been getting from them in Hollywood, he called Senator Schumer out. Because Senator Schumer parades out a bunch of people, little kids and everything, and starts to cry over this ban. Literally, they're tears. Donald Trump says, fake tears. I'd like to know who his acting coach is. Now, this is how President Trump, and, you know, he just, okay, he's calling it like it is.
Right.
He shoots from the hip.
Yeah.
That's what he does. This in the midst, he had a big meeting this morning with a lot of small business people. And he's just plowing ahead.
Yeah.
He's just plowing ahead.
I don't know that he shoots from the hip with no thinking behind it.
No.
He shoots from the hip, but he's already thought about his target.
Absolutely.
He's smart. Anyway.
All right. So, Fred, one other thing is going to happen the next
Midst of, you probably heard last week from the White House they were going to announce President Trump's nominee for the Supreme Court.
Yes.
He was going to do it Thursday, but he has moved that up, just so everybody knows. There's going to be a big announcement, 7 o'clock Central tomorrow night from the White House. And most people think it's going to be one of three people, Neil Gorsuch of Colorado, Thomas Hardiman of Pennsylvania, or William Pryor of Alabama. But as we said at our news meeting this morning, this is Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. It could be somebody other than those three. But those are
now. That's tomorrow. I don't ever remember a Supreme Court nominee being. This sounds like a prime time press conference.
8 p.m.
He's going to put
8 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah,
it is prime time. So he's
right.
Yep.
Going to get a big viewing. I would suspect.
Absolutely.
Well, this is to replace the late Antonin Scalia,
mm-hmm.
and who was a solid constitutional conservative. That's what President Trump ran on, that he was going to select a person who respected, revered the Constitution, and who was also pro-life. That was his commitment during the campaign. So that's coming up tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
So I don't know. If you're a liberal, the old expression, pick your battles, you don't know which one do I pick this one, that one, the other one, tomorrow?
It's a hurry-up offense in football.
Oh, you mean what Trump's running?
Yeah, what Trump's running. You don't have enough time to get new players on the field. You're not sure.
You're gassed.
Mm-hmm. Hurry up,
offense. That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Fred.
You're welcome.
Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News. Let's see. The countries that President Obama Libya? Iran.
I don't have the list in front of me.
Okay, we'll get it here in a minute. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. By the way, last call, I thought we got just a handful. I'm talking about 4, 5, 6 seats left for our Holy Land tour in March. And we're going March 9th through the 17th to Israel on our annual trip there. And if that's something you want to do with us, we'd love to have you again. Just a handful. I'm got them to extend our date of acceptance, the airline. So if you want to go with us or look at going with us, go to the website twholyland.com. All the information is there for the March trip. I'm talking about 6 weeks from now to Israel. twholyland.com. It's going to be a wonderful time with AFA and AFA supporters seeing the land of the Bible. twholyland.com. is the website for all the information on the Holy Land tour. Well, Jeremy Wiggins is in studio with us. Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning. And Tim, is it now that President Obama's not in office, is it going to be like traveling to Hawaii? Are they going to like lay olive branch leaves around your necks when you,
when
get,
you
off
get
the
to
plane?
Israel?
Now, when you get to Israel now?
We'll see. Maybe so. I think the most Israelis like the fact that President Trump is in office and he wants to be a close friend of Israel, as opposed to our last president who wanted to be a
close critic.
Close critic, or well, and do things that are adversarial towards Israel. All right, Jeremy, President Trump says that Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, is crying fake tears today. Did you see that?
Yeah, and that doesn't surprise me. And Chuck Schumer's got an awful lot to cry about. And he's also, you know, you talked about the president announcing his Supreme Court pick tomorrow night in prime time. Not going to be aired on HBO, I don't think. Like pay-per-view fights would
pay-per-view.
Be, but he's in for a fight, though. He might as well, because this is going to be a political boxing match, because Senate Democrats have already said they are going to do everything they can to kill any nomination that he puts forward. So it's going to be interesting to see. But you guys talked about the blitzkrieg that he's putting forth of all of these things. Democrats, they don't have the majority in either the Senate or the House, so they've only got a limited amount of political capital that they can spend fighting these things. So it'll be interesting from a political standpoint to see what they exert the most effort on, because, you know, they can come out against what he's doing on immigration or on the refugee ban, or they could come out and try to block his Supreme Court nominee. So, you know, you can't be in all places at all times. So one fight's going to suffer because of the amount that they're going to have to put in for the other one. So it'll be, you know, politically it'll be interesting. But
what do you think? Let me ask you, Ed, what do you think is going to happen with the Democrats? Do not have the numbers to block the nomination of a Supreme Court nominee by President Trump. They don't have the numbers. 52 Republicans, 48 Democrats. Now, if they want to filibuster the nomination of President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, I guess the Democrats can try that, but then the Republicans could counter.
Right. That's going to be the fight. If 60 votes is what it takes to end a filibuster. And that's just a Senate rule. That's not in the Constitution. So, they're not required to do it. They have played, generally speaking, by that rule. So for a Supreme Court nomination, if no Democrats came with the Republicans to give them a filibuster-proof 60-vote majority, then they would have to try to convince Democrats to do that, or they would have to, which is called the nuclear option, which is to say, well, we're going to drop that rule for this vote. There will be no filibuster, and so all we have to do is have 51 votes. And so the question is, for the Democrats, do, like Jeremy's talking about, they have to make decisions. Do we fight this hard for a replacement for Antonin Scalia, which is essentially switching one conservative for an open conservative seat? Or do we wait until maybe Ruth Bader Ginsburg retires and the Republicans try to replace a liberal with a conservative, then we fight to the death? That's the calculation that the Democrats are going to have to make.
Yeah. And plus also, too, you know, while they're looking at that, while they're looking at this upcoming announcement, you know, President Trump has not kind of let the ink well dry. He signed another executive order talking about small business regulations versus federal regulations that have been put. So what he's trying to do is knock out two regulations, he says, for every new regulation that's adopted by federal agencies. So he's trying to cut regulations for small business, which that doesn't sit very well in the liberal camp either. So he's just continuing to press on with his agenda, and they're going to have to, because if they're tied up in a filibuster over one thing, they're not going to be able to articulate and discuss anything else until that's ended.
Well, and he's doing so many things that you try to organize opposition, let's say, to the cutting the regulations, and then you got two or three other things that happen the same day. So while you may be trying to get opposition to that, now you've got two or three other things that you should be opposed to if you're a liberal, but you just can't fight everywhere, everything at the same time. And that's
especially if you don't have the numbers.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
From what I understand, they're organizing to fight this upcoming Supreme Court pick, which is coming tomorrow. So I think, you know, Ed, you're talking about they're going to have to pick their fight. I think they're gonna pick this one. And probably, of course, they're always going to fight.
Well, President Trump gave a interview with Brody from the Brody Files from CBN and Christian Broadcasting Network right. The other day. And I don't know if there's no clip. Is there a clip from him on this? Mm-hmm. Anyway, he said, did President Trump, that Christians are going to be very happy with his Supreme Court pick. And, again, every day brings something new that you've never heard a president say before in history. Mm-hmm. Who's ever said Christians are going to be very happy with my pick for the Supreme Court? President Trump knows that the Christian community, especially evangelicals and conservative Catholics, were what won the election for him. Without the enormous numbers of these voters coming out for him, he would not have won. He wouldn't have had a chance.
Right.
Wouldn't have had a chance to win. So he knows that. I think he's keeping that in mind, obviously, when he makes his Supreme Court pick. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, we're talking about where are they going to aim at, and the liberals, who, when it comes to President Trump's agenda, because they want to block everything he does, period, point blank. But they're not going to be able to stop everything, so they have to pick and choose their battles, which is what we're talking about. But I found this story. The story is that the ACLU has been mocking President Trump on Twitter, which is they're such a nice group of people. I wouldn't expect this from them. But they're talking about how federal judges have put a stay on what President Trump is trying to do with the 7-country refugee ban. So the Democrats might be able to try to let the federal courts tie this up so they can spend political capital.
What's interesting is, and I don't know all the ins and outs of the federal judge's jurisdiction over immigration, but from what I understand, they don't have any control.
Well, remember that there's a Texas judge who blocked portions of President Obama's immigration acts that executive orders that he assigned. So there is apparently something they can do, but I think part of our problem is us as Americans aren't really quite sure what the limits of what the courts can do, and right. So we just say, well, the judge said that he couldn't do it, so we can't do nothing about it.
Well, let me just we had mentioned before, I did find the list again of the 7 countries. It is Syria, Iraq, Iran, Libya, Sudan, Yemen, and Somalia. Those are the 7 countries. Those are the 7 countries that President Obama said were hotbeds of, well, he never did use radical jihadists, but terrorist activity. So those are the 7 nations. And I think that what federal judges look for is they look for maybe conflicts with law. There's so many laws and regulations that maybe they find a regulation or a law somewhere that they can hang a decision on or a delay on, because I don't know how you say something's unconstitutional when the Constitution, gives authority on, for immigration, to Congress to pass laws and the president to execute them. So it's not like there are constitutional amendments or the Bill of Rights that even address this issue. So we'll have to wait and see. Federal judges, this is why President Trump and the Republicans have got to stick to their guns when it comes to the federal judiciary. We've got to have this back. Otherwise, forever and a day, we will be passing laws and issuing policies that some federal judge somewhere, in the United States says, "Meh, I don't like it. I'm stopping it."
Yeah.
So, that's got to be correct.
Well, I think the federal judge's intervention into the immigration ban, that the temporary immigration ban on 7 countries that President Obama imposed.
Trump.
This is like changing over the dates on your
check. That was 8 years. It'll take a little while to get used to it.
My apologies. President Trump imposed the federal court only intervened in...
That's one specific case.
Yeah.
Involving like 2 individuals.
Right. The federal judge did not come in and say, this is all overturned.
Right.
Well, if you look at the ACLU Nationals Twitter feed, it's kind of ironic. It says, our courts today worked as they should, as bulwarks against government abuse or unconstitutional policies and orders. So where was that tweet for the last 8 years as we have seen unconstitutional, you know, things just flying left and right out there that go absolutely in the face
of
the Constitution?
What I thought was actually funny, is humorous, was apparently some of these customs agents up in the Northeast completely ignored one of these federal judges and enforced the immigration ban in a certain instance, which they should do. That a federal judge is not is not ICE officer's boss. They answer to the Homeland Security and
right.
The president.
In that situation, the president and the Homeland Security would have to say, we have been instructed by a court and we acknowledge the authority of the court over our decision. Thus far, therefore, you do ABC. But these border agents were only following, they can't interpret a court decision.
Right.
They must follow the directives of their bosses. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, and Jeremy Wickens. What else you got, Jeremy?
Well, I'm excited to say that on this weekend's program, by the way, I host a little program on American Family Radio Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. Central Time called In the Trenches. You can find us on Facebook. Just do a Facebook for AFR In the Trenches. Be happy to accept your likes there. This weekend, we are airing our interview with Mr. Richard Owen Roberts. And if you're not familiar with Richard Owen Roberts, he is kind of a revival historian. He's written several books on historical revivals, not just here in the United States, but also that have taken place in England and in Wales. But he's actually one of the speakers at Fusion, the Heart Cry for Revival conference that's coming up in Asheville, North Carolina, April 23rd through 27th. And I know we'll have more details about that coming in the next couple of months on American Family
Radio. He's quite a preacher and teacher. I've heard him before. He can preach for hours, too.
He's a sharp, sharp guy.
He knows so much about, as you said, not only does he know about historical revivals, but he understands the biblical concept.
Yeah, it goes much more than just memorization of facts
right.
and dates and names. When he talks about revival, you know, he dives into the scripture, gives, you know, talks about what work is done in the hearts of the people, the ground that's being plowed by the Lord to pave the way for spiritual revival, and especially in these times now. And I asked him if he thought that there was hope for a revival here in America, and he said, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we'll have that interview. Another thing he said that was quite powerful was he talked about us being salt and light as Christians, as to be envious to other people to want what we have in our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you want to hear that, we're going to be airing that this weekend, Mr. Richard Owen Roberts. Again, Fusion is going to be April 23rd through 27th in Asheville, North Carolina, at the Billy Graham Training Center right there at the Cove. So really excited about that.
Let me ask y'all this. I was reading a story about how two big movies with two big stars have bombed recently. And it was Matthew McConaughey's movie, Gold is the name of it. Doing terrible at the box office.
Never heard of it.
Maybe
that's probably why it's not doing very well.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey. And then also Ben Affleck's movie, Live by Night, which is, according to the Fox News website, lost a reported $75 million so far. And I'm just wondering if a lot of people – I wonder if the day of big movies, I'm talking about going to the theater, getting your popcorn and Coke or other soda, and sitting down, if that heyday is over, two or three reasons maybe it would be over. Number one is I think a lot of Americans are sick and tired of Hollywood and the actors and actresses injecting themselves into causes that are almost exclusively liberal. And so they speak out bashing the people they want to come to their movies. So you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I think yeah.
That's
I think
part of it.
Yeah. Want to list the other
thing? The other thing is the Netflix and immediate on demand. A lot of films that go to the theater now are being released at home or at that Redbox thing.
Much faster.
They're there the same time. So now of course that wouldn't hurt That would hurt box office sales, but that wouldn't hurt the movie necessarily. People are still watching the movie. They're just happen to be getting it at home or on a DVD at the box. But I'm just wondering if all this hue and cry from Hollywood is going to hurt the movie industry in the coming year or two, maybe temporarily.
I think it will, because, and I'm speaking for myself.
Yeah.
In general, my wife and I, we don't really want to go see movies anymore. Not only do we not want to go,
there aren't a lot of good movies out there.
Go to the theaters, pay $15, and popcorn's $20.
$15. Where are you going to watch movies at?
Spend all this money on movies, only to have the actors in the movie, like Tim said, bash your values. So we watch Fox News, occasional Netflix movie, but that's it. And I would think that's kind of the feeling for your average American.
I think there are going to be some movies that, regardless of the political leanings of either the director or the actors, that it's just not going to make it to. So like Ben Affleck, for instance, he's going to be in the Justice League movie this year.
Right.
People are going to go see that. They don't really care.
Because they're fans of that
exactly
comic.
But now when you have a movie where he himself is more the main focus and not the character he's playing, then I think people are just going to say, well, I just don't really care about Ben Affleck. Mm.
Gotcha. The difference would be, the attraction would be the storyline and whether people identify or know about the comic, as opposed to a movie that depends, that nobody knows what it's about, but you say, well, I want to go see that movie because that star's in there and he's always in a good movie. I always felt that way about Tom Hanks.
Right.
Tom Hanks, I always enjoy, he's liberal, but aren't they all in Hollywood? But as far as I know, he hasn't been crazy liberal as far as, you know, always bashing conservatives or anything like that. But that's the kind of actor when I go, I want to know what if a movie's coming out involving Tom Hanks, I'm interested in, because he seems to always be in good movies.
Right.
By the way, last year, Disney dominated the box office in 2016 with Finding Dory. That's a children's animated movie, right? Mm-hmm. And then Captain America Civil War, which was, I guess, the two of the top grossing movies.
And then they have the Star Wars franchise. They're just a gold mine.
Oh, they do? Okay.
Yeah. Listen, I get to the place where if an actor is going to insult me, now I give them one shot, but if they're going to continue to insult me, then I tune them out. Last night, I think, was the 23rd Screen Actors Guild Awards, and apparently, from this Hollywood Reporter article that I read earlier, they just bashed Trump the whole time.
Yeah.
I want to just read to you guys just quickly, because I know we're almost out of time, one of the comments below that story. I always like to look at the comments, and this is how Hollywood just doesn't matter for a lot of people. This person, I have no idea who this person was. They said, "Dear Hollywood celebrities, you exist for my entertainment. Your entire existence depends on my patronage. I'll crank the organ grinder, you dance. I don't really care where you stand on issues. Once I am done with you, I can put you back in your little box until I want you to entertain me again. I'm supposed to care what the director of Fluffy Tripe made for gullible people thinks about global warming or gun control? Get back in your bubble. I'll let you know when I'm in the mood for something blue and shiny." This is a comment. It got all kinds of thumbs up. On the Hollywood Reporter website, people are looking at Hollywood and saying, "You're a bunch of dummies. Make the movie.
Right.
What you have to say about this issue matters to me not a bit."
And I think that's another reason why we need to be so supportive of stuff like what American Family Studios does.
Laura Ingraham, the conservative commentator and talk show host in her own right, wrote a book 5 or 6 years ago, and I never will forget the title of it, talking about Hollywood and the actors and the entertainers and musicians who think they're all it, filled up with self-importance about what they think about every issue. She said, the title of her book was "Shut Up and Sing."
Yeah, that's right.
We'll be back.
Yeah.
We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.